Hello? I don't mean to Bennett surf you, but it's not my refrigerator. So no, my fridge isn't because I don't have one. But as far as I know, the one Hardy got at Peabutz Appliances is warranted. So we'd have called if there was a problem. And we would, believe you me, because Butchie's snack cakes are in there and he likes them cold, baby. Cold like the soul of an executioner who is also a baker. That's what Butchie always says. Hello? Hello? Who is that? Some appliance warranty people, I guess. Wanted to know about the state of operation of our refrigerator.
Is the refrigerator running?
Yes.
Then you better catch it.
Oh, dang, hang on. Which way did it go, Butch? Oh, it's not that kind of running. It doesn't have feet.
I had a fridge one time that could run. It had big chicken feet like Baba Yaga's hut. And if you opened the front door of the house more than a crack, it would take off.
It's weird. You think they feel loved and safe and like it here, but a lot of appliances, I guess, feel trapped or exploited.
When you put clothes in the washing machine, is that its mouth?
I don't know.
What about the clothes dryer? Its lid's in a different spot.
One of them, you're not putting your clothes in their mouth. That must get old either way for the machine.
I want to say machines don't have feelings, but it sounds harsh even though it's true. Also, even if they did, I would have to willfully ignore them to get things done.
Well, you can live without machines. I mean, except for the telephone.
Like the landline telephone? I'm surprised you even have one.
I think we need to keep one because the phone actually is hooked up to other worlds.
Oh, brother.
No, nothing weird or wacky. Just literally, it degrades information, correct?
It does. There is less info in your telephone voice than in person.
Timbre's different and all?
Yes.
So it's like a low-res copy of talking?
Sure.
And diminished information networks are separate universes because the lack of info changes what the thing is and everything in relation to it. For instance, a 10th generation photocopy of my face
looks like a cockroach.
Bingo. And so in a world where my face is a cockroach, everything connected to it changes based on that truth. Perceiving brings into being.
I think you're just describing being dumb, but it seems profound.
That's what dumb is like. If you can't see the bottom of the hole, it seems deep.
Hans, you should quit digging that hole. It's looking too deep. You'll dig all the way to New Zealand.
But it has to be deep. I need to bury this treasure chest.
Why not just take it to the bank?
Why not just take it to the bank? Of course, why not just take it to the bank? Because it's safer here, I tell you. Banks are a huge target. They literally advertise that they are a building full of money and valuables. No, I'm investing in good old-fashioned hiding.
From whom are you hiding the treasure? I can see you digging the hole.
But before I place it in, I'm going to have you turn away. That way you'll never be sure I actually put the treasure in here.
The doubt would haunt me as I was digging for it.
Keeping information away from people, that's the key. If they steal your machine but don't know how to use it, it's worthless. It's information that needs a lock and key.
Listen, finish your little hole digging exercise and then let's go. We have an audition for a new variety show.
Give me 5 minutes. Also, turn your head.
I am.
And shut your eyes.
But my head's already turned.
There could be a reflection in something you're looking at.
Okay.
From the dawn of civilization, man has been fascinated by origins. How do things start? Where do ideas come from? What makes a machine or song or religion work? Well, to find out, let's take a look at how telephones are made. This is a telephone factory. And that cheery fellow there is a stevedore. He loads the boxes of freshly harvested phones onto ships for delivery to ports throughout the world and the universe. What's that, Mr. Dock Worker? That's all right. We won't look. We were just leaving. He's none too happy that we almost saw where the phones are being shipped. That is protected information.
Protected information.
Hello, information?
You have reached the Universal Library Hotline.
Hello?
The Universal Information Library of Possible Worlds. State your question.
Hello?
Your question was below.
Not below, hello.
What is not bloho?
What is not bloho?
Calculating answer. Bloho headquarters, may I help you?
Oh, hi. I was calling the Possible Worlds Library, and I accidentally asked what was not bloho.
Things that are not bloho are like trees or rocket ships or clouds. Okay.
Bloho makes a variety of products for human beings, but it's not a company.
Is this a riddle?
No. I mean, it's a universal benefit organization. Bloho makes everything from craft beers to fine porcelain decorative art to farm machinery, all for free and paid for by King Lala's endless imaginary wealth.
It's funny what you can learn from a misunderstanding. You mean, it's funny the reality misunderstanding can create.
I love getting the wrong number.
Here's a wrong number for you.
214-748-3647.
Hello, department store, I forget the name. Would you like to speak with her? All right, let me transfer you to the complaint department.
Who was that?
It was Shelley Berman. He does these one-sided phone calls as a comedy routine. But instead of just pretending, he actually calls our store every night during his stage show.
What time is it?
It's just after 10. It's always right before closing. You don't know me, he says, but I work across the street and there's a woman hanging from a window ledge on your building.
Is there?
Of course not. It's part of his shtick.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Right? Since all the audience hears anyway is your end of the conversation, just do that part. Leave pauses where the other party would speak. Say things that imply that a certain unheard thing was said. It could really be a showcase for his cleverness, but he just keeps calling the store.
Pass the butter.
It's not butter, but here.
That's salt.
I said it wasn't butter.
I'll get it myself. And what's that sound?
What sound?
You don't hear it.
No, I hear lots of sounds. You talking, coffee cups, newspaper, weird faint voices. I just don't know which one you mean.
The voices. Where on earth is that coming from?
Let's be quiet and listen. That way, without the extraneous noise, maybe that one remaining noise will be clearer. Also, when you talk, there's a vibration in your head, so you can't exactly hear.
Yours is like an echo. Shut up! It's the phone. The phone is off the hook, and somebody is having a conversation.
Who is it? Maybe it's us later today.
Why do you say that?
I may have done something to the phone.
Like what?
Like the earpiece wasn't working properly. It was going in and out, so I grabbed a part from the time machine that looked like an earpiece.
Oh, fantastic. This is how people get turned into houses and such. Stop cannibalizing the time machine for parts.
It's just sitting there these days.
Because it's missing parts. See the correlation?
That's not causation. I heard a guy on the internet say that.
Oh, brother.
The voices have stopped. Maybe the future ended.
Come in. Yes?
You asked to see me.
Oh, Lou, I didn't recognize your face.
Really?
And that's the root of the problem, I'm afraid. Lou, I'll get right to the point. Your face has been the subject of so many misrememberings among your coworkers that it is no longer discernibly human.
What do you mean?
I mean your face looks like a weird shape or something, maybe a bug. And that's just not acceptable in the workplace.
But I've been loading phones for Bloho for years. I like my job on the loading dock, Mr. Kidder.
If the others had not lost so much of the information associated with your face, it wouldn't be a problem, Lou. But as you can see, my hands are tied.
I didn't notice they were tied. I thought you just did the praying gesture a lot.
I'm sorry, Lou. Please go with Shelley Berman. He'll help you collect your things.
Okay, Mr. Kidder. I appreciate the chance I had to work here at Bloho, but please don't be offended when I say that firing someone for their appearance, or rather for not having one, is just not Bloho.
When I was a house, there were those who accepted it and those who told themselves that it could not be true based on what they already knew. How could the consciousness of a human being leave its body and take up residence in a house, become inextricably embedded in the lumber bones and hardware guts of a home? A living soul, all wires and glass and concrete, a creature impacted by action but with limited agency. So people lived like I didn't exist because my existence ripped them from one universe and dropped them into another. Another expanded one with new and more rules. I have integrated my experience of having my soul ripped out, installed in a house, and then ripped out and put into another body into my real estate business. So what I do is I record a virtual tour of the residence. I then install speakers and motion detectors in each room so when the potential buyer enters, the recording plays. This is my living room. It feels so spacious, doesn't it? I would say. It is within me and contains the core of my being. Imagine welcoming guests into me, and then we would walk into the basement and I'd say, "Welcome to my bowels," that sort of thing. Well, the buyers love it. In fact, they've even said that they begin to believe the house is really alive. And yet, when I was actually a living house, no one believed me. People say they want to know more about the universe, but they really don't.
I always tell the story of the time I played the game telephone with friends. You know the game where you whisper something into someone's ear, then they do the same and so on until after 12 or so retellings, it's become distorted and garbled? Sometimes it has a different name, but the effect is the same. With every reproduction and transmission, the signal degrades. Videotape recording of a videotape recording, until what remains is less information. But what if you ran that in reverse, and each generation was a higher resolution, higher fidelity, more there on which to base truth, or at least information that cannot be ignored? So I could take a picture of my face and put it through such a machine, and with each pass, you would see more and more of me. What you call my eyes would be shown in a larger context with more detail so you could see what they're really for. The strangeness of my nose would be supplanted by all the unseen but real subtleties of the face you're currently ignorant of. Maybe my soul would go from transparent to visible so that its shape and limits could be made out, maybe even sketched or painted in the perfect portrait of body and spirit. Things must seem so much sharper and brighter outside of this dream.
Having fun?
No, I'm bored.
We could play a game.
Let's play reverse telephone. That's a fun party game.
How do you play that?
I whisper something in your ear.
Wipe my rear.
I whisper something in your ear, then you do the same to Hardy, but adding more information to what I said.
Okay, go.
One time, you accused my dog Spiny of tearing up the garden when it was really the planet Uranus, but then you came around and saw it my way.
Got it. Hardy, come here, we're playing a game, reverse telephone.
All right.
Remember that time Butchie's dog Spiny tore up the garden, but he wouldn't believe us and blamed the planet Uranus, which is really pronounced Uranus, but then we lied and said we believed him just to avoid an argument?
Okay, I'll pass that on. Don, come here, me. Whatever. We're playing reverse telephone. One time,
Butchie was responsible for hurting us, but he couldn't admit it to himself, so he came up with a convoluted version of reality to absolve himself, and we let him to avoid conflict.
I see. All right, I'll pass it on. Hans, come here.
Butchie's fear of rejection is deep and clouds his reason and even his compassion. He so fears emotional pain and separation that he becomes a bully and lives in an exhausting world of imaginary causes.
Oh, I've got it. I'll pass it on. Ed, do you have a moment? We're playing reverse telephone. Listen. Our fearful hearts keep the eyes of our soul closed.
I've heard it. Very good.
So, Ed, what did you hear?
Fear keeps the truth just out of reach.
I'm sorry to interrupt Maximum Nutrition, but I have a few important announcements for you. The New France City Merchants Association is holding its 2-for-1 annual potluck carnival drive this weekend. The proceeds all go to France County School Road Outreach, and kids under 12 are free as usual. Also, a quick reminder that we set our calendars back a year from now, so yesterday is less than a year away. Let's return now to Maximum Nutrition.
Man, I love shopping here at Maximum Nutrition, and it's even better that you work here, Butch.
You don't get a discount.
I wouldn't want one.
Unless you have coupons. Then I have to honor those.
I think we all honor the coupon for its service to our great service industry.
Hear, hear. What's this, a giant avocado?
It's an emu egg. I decided to try one. I usually use a whole carton of eggs to make an omelet, but this way I use just one emu egg.
I thought that you didn't eat eggs because of some spiritual thing.
Oh, you got me. Actually, I'm buying it for a friend. He's staying at my house, and I startled him this morning by rousing him early, and he yelled, "Emu egg, emu egg!"
Are you sure he wasn't yelling, "I'm awake"?
Maybe. What's more likely, though, that he woke up startled, yelling, I'm awake," which we can all plainly see, or that he was ordering his breakfast loudly and insistently?
I think our Maximum Nutrition shopper's card should be a license, and you should have to have a license to shop here, one that can be revoked.
I'd be shopping on a suspended license constantly.
Speaking of which, let me see some ID for this cooking sherry.
Oh, okay. Here, Butchie.
This is a picture of a human face, but you, sir, have a cockroach where your face should be.
Oh, it's not a cockroach. It's a super high-contrast blob. It's because my coworkers can't describe what I look like.
I can't sell you cooking sherry then, little one.
Oh, Butch, you know how old I am.
I'm just kidding. I do. But I still can't sell you any booze. Rules.
Booze does rule. And I need it for my recipe.
You should have thought that before you became non-memorable.
Oh, the worlds created from confusion are beautiful, memorable, and strange. When I was young, Zoom was a TV show. It was a children's TV show, and on that TV show, they spoke a made-up language called Ubby Dubby, I think it was called. And I didn't speak it. I remember some children at school going, Ubba Dubba Wubba Bubba Dubba, or something like that. I still don't speak it. I'm sorry. I feel so foolish and ignorant for not learning a language. And I didn't speak it, and so this was confusing to me. I didn't know what the other children were talking about. So there was information lost to me, and my world was smaller. Oh, I wanted it to expand. I wanted to go off and learn languages. But it turns out that there's more to them than just having like a secret, like a key. That'd be wonderful. It was just like Pig Latin. Oh, you just flip it onto the end, take the beginning letter, flip it onto the end, and add or something. That'd be wonderful. I wish French was like that, but it's not. There's almost a new word for everything, and that's very difficult. And so we can create confusion. Oh, they say in the Bible, it says the Tower of Babel was made to confuse everybody. Why would you want to do that? I guess entertainment purposes. When you're bored, you know how like it's being a bored god or something. You say, let's just throw something weird into the mix. How about no one understands anybody anymore? And they're just all speaking strangeness to one another. Even if we speak the same language, sometimes it's as if we're speaking some kind of confusing secret language. And we do have different ways of saying things. You know, we all have different expressions. There's idiomatic expressions like,
Oh, I got a sugar cube in my ear. And that means, I might have made that one up. But there's things like that. You go, oh, I have a hair in my palm. That might be a French one. Let's see. Oh, I got pins and needles up in my butt or something. I don't know. I can't remember. There's so many of them. When you go to name one, it's like people say, what's your favorite movie or what's your mom's name? And you go, oh, and you put me on the spot like that. I just can't pick one. And so it leads to confusion. Confusion leads to fear. Fear leads to, where's that lead? I don't know. I lost my map. I lost my emotions map because we don't need one anymore. Because now you have those guidance systems to your emotions. So you don't need the literal map. And people didn't know how to fold them anyway. They said, I just opened this up to see how I feel about a certain thing, whether I feel rejected, whether I feel unloved. And now I cannot get this back together again, and I just feel confusion, which is coming to be the default state for everything. I've always been sort of obsessed with the fact that we can't speak to one another all the time, even if we speak the same language, that we can't get through to one another. Oh, that's always bothered me so much. And so I've tried to come up with unique, original ways of communicating. Sometimes, what are they? I haven't come up with any yet, but I've been working on it for, I'd say, like 30 years, 20, 30 years. So I'll let you know when I come up with something, and I suppose I'm not the first one. Maybe art is like that. Say, if I could only sing a song. But then I've seen music be so divisive. Say, oh, I hate that song. Oh, when that song comes on, it makes me want to kill. And you go, gosh, it's not that bad. You know? And so that can't be the great uniting language, can it? So I'm not sure what it is. Because one person's soothing sound is another person's annoying sound. My friend John likes those audio tapes, and I guess they have them on YouTube, where people are going, I think I'll get out some cellophane. And they make those, like, subtle, crinkly noise, and he likes that. And I say, oh, goodness, that's funny, because that gives me physical pain, almost there. But it's like, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. The fingernails have to be scratching the chalkboard, because if you just laid some like fake fingernails, some Lee press-ons on a chalkboard, that doesn't bother me. Isn't that weird? They have to be digging into the chalkboard and scraping down it and making a high-pitched sound that sounds like monkeys screaming in their death throes. Then it bothers me. But I guess they were just laying there. However, if they weren't fake nails, if they were real human fingernails that had come off of a human and were laying on a chalkboard, that would have the same effect as the noise. Isn't that funny? There's some things that visually get to me too. Oh, I'm affected by so many things. Sometimes I just want to keep my eyes and my ears shut. And then I think, well, what if there's an odor? Then what have you done? What if you just go around smelling things? The dogs came into that. I cleaned out the shed. I normally have a lot of boxes in there, but I moved boxes to the attic. And then in a year or so, I'll move the boxes down from the attic out to the shed. It's just something I do. It's Sisyphus. It's like Sisyphus, who used to live here. He used to do the same thing. In fact, it's his stuff. I wish he'd come and get it. Just a bunch of boulders. Why is he even keeping them? And the dogs came into the shed. It wasn't accessible, really. And they came in, and they were wandering around. And they weren't really looking at anything. They're just sniffing. They were having a smell. So they could tell more by smelling what had been there, stuff they recognized from the inside of the house. Like, oh, yeah, these books used to be in the basement. I remember them. And they were going around having a smell look. And I thought that was very interesting. Because I smell things, but I don't use them to, you know, to identify people or, I mean, I guess I could tell my friends by smell. I don't think I could. I have some acquaintances that are heavy cigarette smokers. I bet I could pick them out, but I wouldn't know who was who. I don't know. Some people, I should start buying them fragrances and insisting they wear them, and then I'll be able to identify them that way. And I'll say, oh, yeah, I know. So-and-so Kim smells like roses. Then I'd go by that. But what kind of rose? I could be subtle there. What if I had a bunch of friends named Kim, which I do, and they all smell like rose? I'd have to change it up. I don't know what to do half the time to remember things or to communicate with others. And yet I have they give me a radio show. And they say, Hardy, we want you, you're somebody who's inclined to want to connect with people. It's something you desire. You know, you don't know why, but you want to reach out. You think there's some sort of similarity. There's something pulling us together. I feel it. And I've also, I desire to reach out and be your friend. But here's the thing. I don't know what to say to you. I guess that they used to have courses for that. How to win friends and influence people. Well, you can't win them literally like a lottery. You can't win. That'd be wonderful. You put your name in. I got my name in the friend draft. I think I'm going to get a couple this year. That's good. I won a good friend last year. But I think they mean win over, you know, in the sense of impressing somebody or getting someone to like you. Getting someone to like you. That seems weird and hard, right? Like it's maybe not even doable. Like, how can you get someone to like you? Isn't it something that just happens? I don't know. And the influence people, that sounds dodgy, man. To influence people, I don't want to manipulate folks. But there's a real book out there, how to make people be your friends and force them to do things, I guess is the name. And I don't want that so much. It's not that I want to win friends. I guess I just want to be good to be around or something. I guess I just don't want to get in people's way. I don't know. I don't know how much love I need as much as I need not, maybe not hate. I'm shooting for that first. To be loved is, I've been loved. So if that never happens again, I'm probably good. It's like taking acid or getting a massage. I'm done. You know, you do it once. You go, I get the gist. Maybe it isn't a regular thing for me. So, you know, love is something that, oh, I'm loved and cherished. But, you know, then life has all these other things too, these weird things. And it's so strange. And I want it to be all about love, but clearly it's not. But I don't want to get in any, I don't want to block anybody's love either. So I think that's the thing. I want everybody, I want to get out of your way. Let you love, especially yourself. Oh my gosh. I want you. You may be okay. You might be confused by others, the things they're saying to you. Maybe they don't understand you. They can't see you correctly. They don't know what your face really looks like. They don't know who you really are. Oh, what they're getting is such a small amount of information. I had a friend who was just a finger, and we were friends for a long time, and we were sitting on the couch hanging out one day, and I said, I have to ask you, you're just a finger. And he said, well, there's more of me, but I'm sort of like mostly in another dimension. So the only thing poking into this dimension is a finger. If you knew more about me, you'd see more. But all you have accessible to you right now is this little finger of me. I said, oh, my gosh. Well, that's enough. But it's good to know there's more. It's good to know there are things I do not know. There is good to know my reality and my truth are based on limitations right now. I don't know everything. I don't have a complete picture, and there may not be a complete picture. I may be seeing just a little part of a thing, but that may be all there is. I went to an art gallery. Why? Because I like to do that. I like to look at things, and there's a whole building there designed to have you look at things. This is great. So I was looking at a painting, and it was a scene. Maybe it was docks or something like that. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's beyond the canvas. This is a little scene. I wonder what's over there past that river that you see on the canvas. I wonder what's over there. And then I realized there's nothing over there. All that's there is the picture. It implies there's something more. I'm getting this little bit of it. Now, there's the real thing that it depicts, but that's something totally different. The picture isn't the thing. The picture ends right there. That's it. And I could see it like that if I sort of shook my head a little bit. But it had sucked me into a different reality. And I had added a lot of information to it that wasn't there, that was based on my past experiences, cities I'd been to. I knew that rivers didn't just end like that. I knew that buildings didn't just disappear into nothingness on the edges. That there were more to things.
the world didn't just drop off into an abyss. Oh, there's always more right around the corner. Oh, there's more to come until there isn't. But I would love to be with you until that gets here. Let's just sit around and do nothing together. Let's start a business. Let's mishear one another now as I get older. And I start to lose my hearing. Now, your hearing is never perfect, obviously. There's always animals that hear more and everything. So what you're thinking is perfect hearing is perfect human hearing, which is just a little fraction, a dull impression of the waves that are going through the air and everything. But I'm losing even that. And so when people speak to me, it's hard to get out of the way. I say, well, have another day or something. I don't know what I hear. It's so strange how I mishear things. And I insist on repeating the misheard phrase. And I do that so people can either go, yeah, or no, because I can see that. I go, yes. They say, yes, that's what I said. Get out of the way. No, that's not what I said. I did not say, hey, hey, hey. Not doing a Fat Albert impression. I'm glad that you're not. Get out of the way of what? Well, too late. And it is, I guess, communication has to be timely. I hope that this message is getting to you in a timely way, when you need to hear it. And I don't know what you need to hear, so I suppose I'll just say everything. Is there anything like that? Is there any book like that? There are some books that purport to have everything in them, like the Farmer's Almanac, say it's everything is in there. No, I don't know if that's one that's purported. I know, Don Quixote. That purports to have everything in it. Everything that you want to know about human nature is in the book, Don Quixote by Cervantes. People say that. Do they, though? I do. I do. I've been saying that for a long time. I'm not that... I thought I was the only one to say that, and then I heard a rabbi say it. He said, it's just as good as the Bible. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that it... They say things like that a lot of times. Clergy, they want to get you roused up. He doesn't really believe that. He might believe it. If he does, you're going, oh, I want to go hear him. No, you don't. I mean, people can say, jerky people can say interesting, profound things. Just get your information where you can. You don't have to love the source always. If somebody is telling you the truth, let's say that you're lost on a desert highway and you pull over to a gas station and there's a sarcastic, mean local and you're like, is it very far to the next town? And he's like, far? It's another 500 miles. And you don't disbelieve him because he's a jerk. And you don't have to like him to believe him if someone tells you the truth. So you just got to figure out what's true and what's not true. Now, how do you do that? I guess you drive 500 miles. I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you. I guess you got to calculate, use some decision-making theory, I suppose. What's the greater harm? I mean, will it do a lot of harm? How much time will I waste? How much gas do I have? What are my resources? Am I able to gamble? Should I take the time? Should I believe this guy? Should I not believe the guy? But if he turns out to be true, you have to believe it. If it turns out to be true, then you got to take that into consideration. You can't pretend you didn't hear it. Oh, you can't pretend that there isn't a mean-spirited, sarcastic, surly, bitter, local gas station owner on a lonely stretch of highway that only exists in the movies and probably is out west because it's very flat. Where is that anyway? I don't know. Maybe it's Route 66. Oh, let's ask Puppet George Maharis. Hey, Puppet George Maharis. Hey! Is that, when we see that flat road in the movies and everything, is that Route 66?
Get your kicks.
Papa George and Harris says, get your kicks on Route 66. Oh, get your kicks, my friend. Do what you can. I don't know whether they're kicks or anything. Don't get kicks that are so kicky that they're going to damage someone. Say, oh, my kicks might kick in the walls and then the neighbors won't have walls. No. Try to figure out consequences and things, I guess. See, I'm not very good at giving advice. I'm really not. Or directions. Even if I know how I got here, I'm loath to tell you because what if I say it wrong? That's why I just make sounds mostly. I know you've noticed that. And I undo things I've said. Because we like speech and it's comforting and we want to be with others, but we don't always want to make a baby. Sometimes we don't want to make a baby. Sometimes you want to, but what I'm doing is I don't want to make idea babies. But I want to be with you. I want to have the experience. I want to feel together. But I don't want that responsibility. And so I put something protective over my brain so that I can't, so that this idea seed finds no purchase, as they say in the movies. You know where find purchase it? At Maximum Nutrition Grocery Store, which is where Butchie works. And that's a good place. Bless them, too, for everything they do, for providing our food and taking care of us. Bless all you people that help one another, that looking out for your neighbors. You know the difference now between how long you've been alive.
Not very long.
Okay, well, look around you, though. You know, you can tell the people, jerky people and good people. And you know that the good people, they're not always consistently great or anything. But you can separate them from the real profoundly jerky people, right? And I'm telling you, I meet a couple awful villains and then go easier on everybody else. Because now you know what the comparison is. That's why I can tolerate a lot. Because if you've really looked at, you know, some horrible human behavior, you can probably overlook some of the little silly stuff that people do to annoy you. That's the way I look at it. You know, at the end of the day, the sun goes down.
Does it?
No. It goes down before that, sort of.
It does.
Then the end of the day comes in this unlikely place when I'm already asleep.
I suppose you're right. Or is that the end of the night?
I don't know.
Are you an observational comic?
No. I'm not really observing anything.
Are you?
No. I'm observing things that are in my own mind. I am imagination. I'm imagining things, and then I'm commenting on how stupid they are. So that's interesting. So that's like I came up with the problem, and now I'm commenting on what a problem it is. Have you tried to shop at this Maximum Nutrition store? Have you tried to call Bloho Company and get them to do anything? I saw some art I didn't like, and I noticed it was Bloho. And I called up, and I said, I do not like this piece of art. I do not think it's evocative of what you think it is. It just makes me, it's too much, I guess. It's too much. It's too obvious. And I like something subtler. One, did they transfer you one place to the next, one place to the next? I finally said, there's a lady hanging off a ledge on your building. And they said, don't Berman us. Like that. I was just trying to get through. I just wanted to get through. I just wanted them to listen to me. Who doesn't want to be listened to? I want to be listened to. I just don't have anything to say. That's a tragedy. Oh, it's so tragic. There's so much that I want to have heard. I just don't know what it is. I just want my voice heard. I want people to say, Hardy, I hear you. And yes, and you're wonderful, you're okay, and you're not a failure, you're not bad, and I go, I know that's probably true, because I don't even know what those words mean. You're right, that helps, and I would love that, but here's the thing, I think I'd probably have to say something first, and I would love to say useful things. What would be the most useful things? Telling you how to do something, grow something. I do a little gardening, but not enough to tell you how to do it. Seeds go in the ground, and then voila, vegetables. Sometimes vegetables, sometimes other things grow from seeds too. What? Fruit? What else? Paper? Paper. Well, I mean, trees and everything. Yeah, but paper doesn't have seeds. Couldn't you bypass it? Couldn't you take something that's made and then just grow that directly? So instead of just growing like tomatoes or eggplant, just grow the ratatouille or
grow it already made together. Grow the paper. Grow lumber instead of growing the wood. Skip ahead. Something more complicated. Can't we do that? Create that out of nothing. Just seems like there's a lot of steps that are wasted. So I'm just putting these ideas out here, and I'm thinking you could cut them up and make a quilt or something, or use them to line your bird cage. Ideas, even things that are like that. Even insulation has uses. I just got some vermiculite for the garden, and it's also insulation. So you can stick it in your garden, you can grow seeds, but you can also stick it in your walls. And so it's not useless, but it's the stuff that's almost, it's like useless. So when someone says you're lower than dirt or you're useless like dirt, dirt's the most productive, necessary thing there is, practically. There's almost nothing that's useless. Everything fits in. I mean, you don't like to think it is, and you don't want to really see your own use may be uninteresting to you, but doesn't mean it's not profoundly important to the universe. It's just maybe it's not everything you imagined. But not everybody can be emperor or something. It's said to be you. And that's good. And you've got to romanticize it or something. That's what I always do. I go, you know what? I am playing the character of Hardy White. I get to be Hardy White in this life. He's a strange guy. Sometimes he's not super smart, but he's got redeeming qualities. I know he does, because people tell him, and then he believes them, because not everybody can be a liar. So if someone says, I love you, or you've helped me, I go ahead and believe them, because it seems to me, if I didn't, then I would be demanding more of them. I'd say, no, that's not enough. I need more. And they go, well, we already gave you a bed. Yeah, but I didn't think I deserved it, so I threw that bed away. Okay, well, here's a new bed to lay on. Oh, I threw that one away. I don't think I deserve it. Dude, you have to take the bed and lay on it. And that's the way it is with love or compliments sometimes. Please, you got to accept this. You're just making me give you more. Just take them. Say, yes, I accept it. I'm loved. Yes, I accept it. I do something well. My gosh. It's just a bed. I'm not giving you a Cadillac. And I don't know if there's anything at the end where you've got to be, where you're as severely judged. It can't be. There'd be a tremendous backlog, right? If everybody had to go through something when they died and say, yeah, we got to answer some questions. I mean, you do have eternity, granted. But it still seems like just an interminable line, and that's no fair to the good people. So I don't know if you got an answer for anything. Maybe it's just one question. You know, I don't even know what that one question would be. You know, how was it? It's like an essay question. No wrong answer. Just your impressions with an up inflection. Yeah, I'm not sure what you have to answer for. I mean, you have to answer for more in life when you do something. People say, hey, why did you do that? Why'd you hit that dog? And then you got to deal with some stuff. You know, you either double down, you go, I'm a dog hitter. Or you say, oh, my God, what have I done? And you ask for forgiveness and then you don't get it. And then what do? Go back to being a dog hitter? Or do you change? And realize that there's, you know, not everything's going to fall into place. They might not be rewarded for doing the right thing. That's hard to take, too. That's what I have the hardest part for. I want a medal for everything that I do, even when it's just basic. I want to be rewarded for it. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I let you hold the door for somebody. You go, why didn't you say thank you? You don't need a, do you really need a thank you? Like, why are you doing it? Are you really just doing it for the reward and everything? Think about it. You know, I kind of do it now. I do more things now because I want other people to do them. And I don't really care if they thank me or they do it. You know, I'm just trying to get some momentum going. Maybe everybody sees you do it, they'll do it too. It's like I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm wiping down my weightlifting bench at the gym. I'm not going around telling you to do it. And I'm not going around complaining, and I'm not getting a petition. I'm just, every time I'm looking around the room, I'm dramatically grabbing a rag and the spray, and I'm wiping down my Smith machine. Nobody uses Smith machine. I'm wiping down
the peck deck. All right? And then you say, hey, that looks like a good idea. I haven't done that in the past, but I'll do it. Right? That's what I'm trying to do. Just wipe your sweat off of stuff. I'm not gonna call you out if I see you doing it, but I'm gonna do it in front of you. You don't have to thank me. Nobody thanks somebody for wipe. They're supposed to do that. Oh, I wouldn't mind getting your sweat on me in certain instances. It depends who you are. I'm like, we're friends. I'd have to know you, probably. And even then, gosh, we're human beings. I've gotten next to dogs that are, you know, not. I've done that with my dogs. I give them a big dog a big hug, and you go, oh, dear, where have you been? Oh, my goodness. I got one dog that's just, it's just filth. It loves filth. It is filth. It worships filth. It wants to crawl inside filth and be it. It just, there's nothing dirty or horrible or stinky or love of stink. The dog is just amazing. It's like a stink angel. And she's so sweet. She's the most affectionate thing. And she will roll in anything that's dead or decaying or, you know, or rancid or I don't know what it is. But then, you know, you go to hug her or something or she'll give you a big lick. And you go, oh, gosh, my word. I got to love you through all my senses say run. There's one, my heart is saying, hug this dang dog. And my other dog is just merely greasy. So he's cool. He's greasy and he's not affectionate. But he can make his eyes anime. And I kid you not. It's a beagle. So the beagle he doesn't give you a kiss or anything. He doesn't do much, but like when he wants food, he'll look at you and he does something really weird with his eyes where they get really pretty and they like sort of sparkle and they change shape. And you just want to give him all your food. I don't know what it is. It's some magic power. I want you to come over when things are better and you can see this weird dog. Both of my dogs are strange. But they help me understand people more, too. They help me understand human beings. Because there's so much of in our nature that we'd love to escape that we can't. And it's good to understand who we are. So we know what to expect of ourselves and others, too. And when I know understand my dog nature, my dog understands my monkey nature, his monkey nature, because that's what I am. I'm a tall monkey, and I understand that. So I've got monkey needs, monkey desires, and monkey thoughts, and they are with me always, and I embrace them. But I also make sure I know they're there so that they don't negatively affect. Oh, the curious George inside me wants to wreck up your museum. But I know that I can't do all of the things I want to do. When they begin to hurt the man in the yellow hat and his friends, I know it's time to pull back on my curiosity. I'm a monkey, and I like to do the monkey things the monkeys do. I am a monkey, and I like to do the monkey things that monkeys like to do. Pum, pum, pum. One day, I was out this. It'd be helpful to have other instruments and things like that. I like just using my mouth, but eventually you reach some sort of limitations. And I'm not going to tape it all separately like Bobby McGarren or whatever his name is. But boop, wah, boop, 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 like that, he did that. And that a lot of people liked it, Bobby McFerrin, and a lot of people did not like it. And I don't know why, but it is one of those things. A lot of people said, it feels like someone has taken Lee press-on nails and then put them and used them as musical notation. And I said, that's very clever. That's a very clever, I love clever one-line reviews of things. I read a one-line review of the IT Crowd one time, and it said, have you tried turning it off and leaving it off? I said, oh, that's a good one. But it's a funny show. I don't watch a lot of shows, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm afraid I'm going to take one of their funny things and say, oh, that's so funny. I got to remember that because that's what we do in real life, right? And then I go on the radio and I tell you, quote, a joke that I heard. Now, see, here's you see what's coming, right? Now, I can watch. It's funny because I watch shows on TV and I will, you hear a joke, you see a joke and you go, ah, that joke structure is familiar to me. Something else has been plugged into it. But there's very little that's absolutely original. Even jokes, they're just changed slightly. But the whole gist of it sometimes can be the same, like the gist of the one-sided telephone conversation. The old I'm leaving out part of it. You will know what the other person is saying by my reaction only is a clever style of delivering a laugh, of making a surprise. And that's what comedy is a lot of times, is surprises. Say, aren't you more surprising, Hardy? I don't want to startle you. You know, you ever see those videos about somebody's jumping out of a closet at their mom and their mom goes, wah, like that? My mother would have absolutely died. Literally, like I would have scared her to death. And then what? I don't think that's so funny. So I don't know. Doesn't amuse me to hurt people or give people terror, even temporarily. And also, it doesn't necessarily make me feel good to make people uncomfortable, even temporarily, because that would be fine if I knew they were all too comfortable. Then I could make some sort of judgment. But what if I'm making somebody uncomfortable who's just had it? I mean, what if they've just lost somebody they've loved? What if they have no prospect of getting a job, or they don't know how they're going to live, and it's just their whole world is crashing down? It's your life, man. You got one of them. And when you feel that, when you feel hopelessness, there's nowhere to go from that. Now, you walk around in your hopeless state, and it's like being a naked glass child. That thin glass, Irish bleak china, maybe. And there are people out there who just love to swing. And they swing because they think people are just not, they're just not tough enough. And that they can toughen you up by hitting you with something. And you go, but no, I'm glass. You're going to shatter it. And this happens a lot. And so we like to torment or hurt or, provoke a lot of times because we think the other person deserves it or that they can take it. And the harm that we do casually is sometimes immense. And I see it. I see it on the computers and it just makes me shake my head. It makes me shake my head. Because I think the other, it's not happening. Admit when somebody is mad at you or directing some animus towards you, it feels so different than when they're doing it to somebody else. Even if you don't know that person or anything, it's just, I don't know. It's something about having a human nervous system. It just makes life worse. Even if you don't deserve it, there's nothing that can really undo a lot of injustices. Justice doesn't undo pain. You still have suffered the pain. I'd like to, rather than justice, I'd like to have the justice delivered before the crime. Don't do the things. Revenge leaves you cold, leaves you empty. After the thing's done, then it's done. I would do by any means necessary to keep it from being done. And that means, I think, my tact is being confusing. It's just confuse people out of their animus. I don't know how to do that. Put them in it. I've studied a lot of Star Trek, and I believe Captain Kirk is very good at doing this. What you do is you deliver paradoxes to machines. You say to the machine a paradox, and it becomes so obsessed with solving something that is unsolvable, mainly because of rhetoric, not because of math. Sometimes because of math, but a lot of times because of language, it becomes so confused, it stops doing a harmful thing. You go, oh, you've made, now you're getting V'ger all mixed up, Captain Kirk. I'm asking V'ger, You know, is it still the ship of Theseus?
I don't know. Vesher doesn't know. What are you doing?
Steam coming up.
But if I do that, then I violate the Prime Directive. And if I violate the Prime Directive,
and the steam comes out of the ears, and Kirk's just smiling. Kirk's like, I'm embrace paradox. Kirk is like, I'm Walt damn Whitman, man. I'm so large. These things, there are no paradoxes in my heart. I can do opposite things at the same time. I'm unencumbered by that. Living out there. Oh, that's the spirit I want. If we have any spirit as human beings, say if we're people at all, the people are hearing my voice. Let it be that. Let it be that we do contain multitudes like that, that we're able to have all sorts of competing ideas in our head at the same time, all sort of competing aesthetics, all going at the same time in a wonderful mishmash. Oh, we all need one another. We're so different. Come on. Tired of this same versus different. I'm on team different. You know, if you're shooting a movie and it's a World War II movie and you got characters and they're all archetypes and you got like three that are called cowboy, you got too many cowboys. You just need one cowboy, one blackie, one stinky. When you know you get, you follow me? So you don't, you know, that's as, the more different, the more we have our evolutionary bases covered. That's what I'm saying, is to get through things, we need different ideas and different perspectives and different X-Men powers. Everybody's got to have a different one. Even if it's subtle and strange, you got a different subtle X-Men power. And that's why you feel different. But oh my gosh, look at the Ninja Turtles. Look at the Wiggles. They all have different color jerseys. We need a purple. We need a yellow. I don't know who they are. Jeff, Donatello and Mark? No, there's no Mark, I don't think. Anthony. There's an Anthony in both, I think. There's both. I'm going to say they might be the same group. I haven't looked into it. My friends, and we are friends, aren't we? This is a great group. Worldwide. We're a friendship group that goes out from concentric circles from New Jersey all over the world. And we're all friends. And we're united, and we're living at the same time. We won't all be alive at the same time forever. Some of us are going to go before others. Some of us got here before others. But we all know one another now, and it's our world. Well, let's do something. Let's do something miraculous. Let's do something beautiful together. It's ours right now. We're alive. We're going to say what's going on. We're going to say who we are. I'm going to say who I am. I'm going to announce what my face looks like. I'm going to repeat what you say so I hear it correctly. I'm not going to distort and change. I want to go for the truth. I want more information, not less. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the world crashing down constantly. I'm not afraid of the directions and the rules changing mid-game. Bring it on. I'm flexible. I'm Gumby. I'm an octopus. I am Mist. I am Hardy White with Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online worldwide on WFMU.org. Thank you for listening, and I will see you again next week.
troubles all about my soul. Well, you know I'm troubled all about my soul. Lord, just as soon peace strike Zion, then you know I won't, Lord, be troubled no more. Well, then you know I'm troubled all about my soul. Well, you know I'm troubled all about my soul. Lord, just as soon peace strike Zion, then you know I won't, Lord, be troubled no more.
Oh, you know I'm troubled
all about my soul.
All about my soul.
Troubled all about my soul.
Oh, I'm troubled
all about my soul.
All about my soul.
Troubled all about my soul.
Well, Lord, I want to
peace strike Zion. Peace strike Zion.
Shall I
won't be troubled no more.
I'm gonna meet my loving Savior. I'm gonna meet.